I think the problem is that the challenge is almost everyone has to promote or market something new, different than what they've had to. And how do you pivot and do that when maybe you're not ranking super well? And so my mind goes immediately to like, how are we communicating? How are you communicating what the experience will be like?
Have you ever wondered if there is a different, maybe even a better way to tackle an enrollment or marketing issue? Are there processes or practices in your institution that you wonder, why does this exist and why has no one bothered to disrupt it?
Or what about a hot new enrollment marketing trend that you've been asked to jump on, but you're not really sure how to do it the right way, or even if it's worth doing at all?
Believe me, we get it. I'm Jamie Gleason, a 20-year veteran of higher ed who has worked both inside and outside the institution and on the vendor side of enrollment marketing.
And I'm Tony Fraga, an 18-year recovering higher ed marketer who has seen just about every enrollment marketing model in the industry. And we've teamed up to launch the Pivot Podcast to take an issue, a hurdle, or an outdated process and suggest ways to pivot into a new direction or launch into a better process. As much as possible, we'll use actual examples, but we'll try to keep all the takeaways as fresh as possible.
You'll laugh, heck, you might even cry, but we promise this is a podcast that you won't want to miss. The Pivot is proud to be a part of the Enrollify Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to this podcast at enrollify.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of The Pivot. I'm here, as always, with Tony and Jamie. Guys, how we doing? I see we all joined the, for those of you not watching, we're all on the hat train today.
Yeah, I also need to soon be on the trim my beard train because I'm feeling like a little lumberjacky, but that's just life.
I'm glad that we're all unified with the hats.
Yes.
Yeah. Means it's going to be a great episode. Oh. This could be the best one yet.
Should have all worn our college hats. Oh, that would have been,
I have a hat from my college.
I am.
Yeah.
Go Wahoos.
All right, diving in. We're approaching, you know, May when a lot of prospects are beginning their search. One of the things that's happening now is schools have had to make a lot of pivots, whether it's online with new programs, a bunch of things kind of post-COVID as people are, again, just the continued increase maybe in people also being a little more skeptical of higher education. And there's just a lot of things that schools have had to change along the way. And that kind of got ramped up over the last 3 years. And a lot of the things that people used to rely on, like rankings or the beauty of their campus, just the in-person nature of we have a big football team and that was a big draw. And those are just becoming maybe less important or null and void. You know, you're at an institution where you can't rely on those things anymore. You're launching more online programs or even newer programs. How do you really stick out when, you know, you used to go, look at us, we're number 2 on best business schools in the state or something. And that's no longer a thing. Or look at how beautiful our campus is. And people are like, I don't care, I'm going online. You know, your high price point doesn't seem worth it now that I don't get the benefit from your campus. How do you kind of take what you already have without reinventing the wheel to really distinguish yourself from your competitors, from even just other local schools in the area or online programs that are across the country that someone can just as easily access now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is a hard one. We like to think about the college decision as completely objective, right? Rankings, price, faculty ratios, blah, 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 blah. It's been said 1,000 times in every virtual campus video of every school. The reality is there is still a big, like, obviously outcomes matter, but there is a big emotion, like, there's still an emotional factor, especially on the undergrad side to like what people are choosing to buy. So the question for me becomes like less about differentiating yourself programmatically or even like maybe, you know, relative to some of the competitors in your area or something like that. Like to me, the difference becomes differentiation in experience. Like how do we experientially like create something that is altogether different? So like, again, my time as a director of admissions or chief enrollment officer at a couple different institutions, that often led me to see like how authenticity makes a huge difference when it comes to like a student being able to like say, oh yeah, I really can like latch on or associate the school and see myself there. So I think like, what do you do in the process? It's May, you know, like my kids, I have two teenagers, they're getting, you know, mail, like lots of direct mail. It's crazy how much people spend still in direct mail on the undergrad side. But the thing that they're like, that this mail, it's self-promotion mail, right? But it's not like, what do I do to make this process easier? There's not a lot of like, hey, five tips for like, you know, breezing through your senior year and getting better, you know, like things like that. Like, how can we make this process so that you as an institution show yourself on this like advocacy level for students who are thinking about you or who are getting your mail and reading it or getting your email or going on your website or whatever, but like removing friction. First, I think first thing for me is like, how do I make this process frictionless, memorable? And then along the way, obviously, I think within this, and this goes back to kind of program and who you are and where you are and all that stuff. How do you like solidify the story? Like, how do you, I mean, the truth is when you solidify your story, you're going to find people who don't match up, which is fine. Yeah. That's good. Save yourself the noise, like move them, you know, somewhere else. But like, but I think like making sure that you're telling the story that people need to hear, want to hear in that process of decision. So that's where my head goes initially, like right off the bat. So how about you, Tony?
Yeah, I think a lot of what you shared there too is kind of, you got to do that every year at this point. And I think the extra pivot right now would be, and you got to do it for something new that you haven't had to talk about or do before. And I think that's a challenge right now in this pivot is you've got to now distinguish yourself differently than how you may have told that authenticity story before, because that old stuff doesn't work or it just doesn't apply. Either because now you've got these online programs and you never had them, or now you've got this new program or whatever it is. I think what's happening right now as students are starting their search, I think schools, anyone in enrollment marketing, whether you're enrollment management side or more in Marcom side, and it's more on like the overall brand story you're telling, I think the problem is that the challenge is almost everyone has to promote or market something new, different than what they've had to. And how do you pivot and do that when maybe you're not ranking super well? And so my mind goes immediately to like, how are we communicating? How are you communicating what the experience will be like rather than the facts? So getting away from factual and functional, functional, the two Fs, to the two C's, what is creative and compelling instead of factual and functional? And that's immediately where I pivot.
I like the way you said it before. Functual.
Functual. Functual. That's about, it's both factual and functional. Functual. We made a new word. Get away from functual. Get away from functual. That's what I would do. I would pivot and say, take everything functional and stop.
Yeah.
And instead do something really different. Because if you have like, you know, I know schools that right now they have to market an aspect of their school that wasn't there or is now larger. And it, I think a lot has to do with pivoting right now. I think, again, in this scenario, you said, Shane, students starting their search process. I think at that stage, psychologically, you're right, Jamie, it's a lot about feeling.
Yeah.
How do I feel when I get that mail or when I go to their website or when I click that email or look at their social media or research them? However it is, I'm starting my search. We really have to think about feeling.
Yeah.
So I don't really care whether it's a new program or a new this or that. And, you know, particularly for schools that don't, can't just rely on like, we're the number one in this. You don't have really great rankings. You have decent rankings.
Even if you do though, even if you do have number one rankings, but your experience is poor, your website experience isn't good. You have it's not going to carry you far. So I think the key is here, it's not about, you're not trying to sell the student in May. You're actually just trying to get them to come back in late May.
Yeah.
Like that's the key. It's like we jumped this step. I think Tony and I were at a conference a couple weeks ago, or actually a couple months ago now. Sorry, my mind's first thing to go when you get old. But like, you know, I think the hard part is we make this huge jump from like, oh, this is my first time visiting campus or my first time on your website. And it's like, let's get an application. No, let's get a second visit. Let's get them to
engagement.
You know, engage to something, make a small micro conversion somewhere. So that way we get the opportunity to talk to him the second time. And like, let's get that middle stuff. Like, that's just too big of a leap.
Yeah. So thinking about, as you kind of first touched on this, Jamie, of saying, you know, get away almost from the facts of, hey, I can read this on your website. Right. I don't really need you to tell me it again.
Totally.
Also, it's not particularly inspiring. So what do you promote, say, show to prospects who are just, again, they might be stumbling across your institution for the very first time. You want to leave a lasting impression. What are the things that people can and should show that will leave an impression that is a positive one and not just look at our campus and it's, you know, hey, I'm doing online programs. I don't care.
Yeah.
Right. Or I'm going to tell you a story for a college that won't be named real quick. Literally just saw this, Jamie and I, at that conference. This is a case in point, Shane. On the about page, did you know that at an unnamed university in the Midwest, begins with I, there are 365 buildings with wireless internet access.
Wow. Mm.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Is like, what is that doing on your about page in 2023?
Yeah.
Like maybe 1998, but we are wasting space.
Yeah.
We're wasting media.
Right.
Talking about things that your prospects, when they're searching, don't care about at all.
Yeah.
And we have to get away as enrollment marketers talking about that at all. Don't waste the space.
Yeah.
What you're going to use, you got to use that little space you do have, that little airtime, mm-hmm. to really attract and bring them in and make them curious, compelled, excited, kind of intrigued. I'm just trying to use words that the stuff I would do in this pivot has to exude.
Yeah.
So like, I'm for pivoting on anything that's going to cause intrigue, curiosity, surprise, delight, excitement, funny. I'm going to laugh.
Even stick-to-itiveness. Like, how do we like figure out, like, how do we get people to adhere? Again, thinking of that second, like that second visit, like what do we do that's going to get them over the hump to like click on the second email, open the actual piece of mail, something like that.
Alrighty, we're gonna play a game, guys. Okay, so first and foremost, get a pen, get a paper, pull out your notes app on your phone, whatever it might be. Okay, got it? Great. All right, what keywords does your website currently rank for? Take a couple seconds. Right, 1, 2, 3, 4. I give you a few, not just a couple. What doesn't it rank for that you think it should rank for? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, what are a few keyword opportunities that you could be winning on if you just simply tweaked some of your existing website copy? Got it? Okay, how'd you do? Ooh, not so hot. Not sure what you're currently ranking for, or not sure what you could be ranking for. Well, that's okay, because our friends at DD Agency want to help you answer all of these questions. DD Agency is a higher ed specific marketing technology agency that has conducted countless SEO audits for colleges and universities across the country. In these audits, they detail where you currently rank, what you could be ranking for, exactly how copy should be tweaked on website pages, and so much more. If this sounds like something that you could benefit from, give the guys at DD Agency a ping and be sure to mention that Enrollify sent you to claim a 10% discount on any of their SEO offerings. So head on over to enrollify.org/DDA SEO. That's DDA as in DD Agency SEO, or simply follow the link in the show notes below. That will guarantee you get a 10% discount off of your audit. All right, head on over to enrollify.org/DDA SEO, or simply Google DD Agency, find DD Agency's website, and be sure to mention that you heard about them through Enrollify when you request your audit. All right, folks, back to the show.
So here's where my head goes, Shane. Undergrad, you know, my undergrad view often goes to like the integration, basically the pivot from, let's stick with the topic here, stick with the title, the pivot from like what's kind of an old, boring, you know, sophomore, junior, like comm flow to, you can still keep the comm flow, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but like, what do you do to add to it? So what can you put in there And it goes, I go immediately to video. Like, how do you make like low cost videos that help students say, this was my experience when I was where you are. So I think students, video, updating your emails to make it more experiential. So like almost like a subject line of like, I bet you're wondering about this or something like that. And it's like, maybe that's spammy. I don't know. You'd have to run it through that like spam meter subject line thing. But like figuring out a way that when a student opens their email, that there's a student talking to them saying, hey, when I was a junior and I was starting my search, like these were the things on my list. And this is how I've like knocked one of those things out by coming here. Mm-hmm. Or I've answered one of those questions by like digging into the process here and like making your school the hero of that story.
Yeah. And even thinking too, I mean, you had mentioned all the direct mail, right? And I think that's one of those things that that's probably hard for schools to let go of because they think we've done it for so long.
Yeah.
We've been, even if you've only been, you know, decently successful, it seems like one of those things that if you let go of it,
yeah,
you think the world may collapse and we will get nobody.
Sure.
So how do you, and this is a question for both of you, how do you do direct mail well to stand out? As you're saying, you're getting all these things and they're all kind of the same. We'd love to help you do your application, schedule a call with us. It's all the same old blah, blah. How do you make your direct mail piece and kind of, again, micro pivot here, distinguish yourself within direct mail to really stand out where, again, somebody's flipping through these things going junk, 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 junk. How do you make them stop and go, oh, that's different. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to say something controversial here. Ooh. I think direct mail should be used as a second or third and not as a first. Oh, in this, 100%. In the thing,
that's not controversial. That's just smart.
And the answer, that's the part of the answer to your question, because that enables you to put stuff in that mailer that is highly relevant and attractive to that prospect based on behavior you were able to track. So if we take what we said earlier, and you get that first touch, so that you can get a second touch, and you've got an interaction. If you're smart, you can use data and behavioral information to do things like variable content in the mailer, so that this is really hard. And most of the direct mail approach is it's a shotgun approach, or like drop a bomb from a helicopter really, really high up and just we'll get the dust that settles, rather than a smarter where direct mail is used as in the middle because it's fueled by data. So I would argue in this pivot, the goal with the search marketing is really actually to capture data and to build a sub audience, then to do things like direct mail with that uses the data I have that sees, hey, this prospect, let's on an undergrad, like this prospect is clearly more interested in athletics, for instance, based on where they're clicking and visiting. So we want to use this content and highlight this feature and this unique aspect of our school more. On the grad level, it could be much more about if they've filled out anything or visited certain pages about particular programs or sub schools or colleges. You can put information about that college there. There's a lot of creative ideas, but none of that you can do if you make direct mail first. Yeah. You're stuck at like high level branding, and it's just like, hey, we're cool, we're here, check us out. And you can do that. I just think the chance of that, the results on that are very low versus when you use direct mail in the middle.
Yeah,
it's way more powerful. If you fill it with data, with information and media that is based on my behavior and demonstrated interest. So you're kind of building an off audience first.
Yeah.
And I this is getting more marketing-y, but I think you're building audiences with this pivot. You're building audiences on social. You're building audiences on Google. You're building audiences so you have your own sub audiences and are tracking that. And that's why Jamie's right. Like, you have to get a second touch. Mm-hmm. Once you get that second touch, you now have them, and you can do things like a retargeted ad, or then send them a mailer if you have their mailing address. Mm-hmm. And those second things just perform way better after they're informed by the first touch data.
Yeah. So are you saying pearls are coming back? Just to clarify.
No, they're not. They're not. But you know what did come back in the pandemic? The QR code, and the QR code is like a pearl. And, you know, 100%. Like, I am thinking of, I'm hearkening back to the Super Bowl. Sorry, Eagles. Still hurts my heart a little bit.
Oh, so tough.
But you got to bring your defense. But anyway, sorry. Like those Super Bowl commercials, though, that, you know, all the Super Bowl commercial is a QR code bouncing around your screen. And it's like, how many people, how many millions of people did that while they're watching the Super Bowl to understand what that is. Like, figure out a way to do that creatively with students, and I guarantee you they're going to try to – they're going to be curious.
Yeah. So how do you take – let's say you set up that QR code. You have a super attractive way. Again, it's not their first time. I think that's a good point, Tony, of using the mailer kind of as a secondary, tertiary touch point to really either drive home a personalized point or to showcase something very specific to needs and wants of a prospective student. How do you take, let's get maybe real with an example of, great, you have a super cool mailer, you have your QR code, it's very attractive, they're going to scan it, you know some things about them already. Where are you sending them, and how is that kind of complementary to the other things they've seen or their interests?
Again, by nature, I go to undergrad thinking. So like, what does it look like to create a space, you know, that's like a first year, like prospect landing page that gives all sorts of different, like, whether it's like shortcuts to tips and tricks, like maybe you have an apply now, you know, budget or like a RFI or register a visit, but maybe you don't. Maybe it's just all about providing helps and info and, you know, like giving more video of like, hey, this is the experience. Because I think the thing that we recognize with students is that they get lost in video, right? They like, they watch it and it makes them watch another one and it makes them watch another one. So like, how do we get them in that, like that string of like intake and helps so that you can kind of stay at the, like, you're not necessarily at the focal point. Cause that's the part that I think a lot of schools struggle with is like, you know, when I send my direct mail piece, it's talking all about me. But if I send a direct mail piece with just a QR code, like, what's that mean? You know, I can just visualize a president like yelling at their marketing director saying, that's stupid. It's like, no, that's the way it is. Like, sorry.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but yeah, there's an answer to that. I'll tell you what that means, Mr. or Mrs. President. Yeah. I'll tell you. It means you now freaking know who took the time to scan that QR code.
Yeah.
So the QR code offer has to be attractive.
Yeah.
But if it is, like, my first thing is actually, there's virtual view books and virtual pages and all these personalized stuff. And you could do that. I actually just think keep it simple, though. Like, immediately, like, video. I would want that QR code to go to some sort of video. And it cannot be the professional marketing 5-minute video that is basically a video version of your view book. It's not about you. It has to be something fun, something probably even student made.
Yep.
You have to give a reason. So the immediate thing I thought of is like, how could that QR code go to just watching a video?
Yeah.
And so now you're in their mobile phone. Mm-hmm. Now they have you on their mobile phone and they may only glance at 17 seconds of it, but at least you're there.
Yeah.
And in your CRM platform, you now have a tick. You have a touch point of like, hey, Jamie went in and Jamie Gleason scanned that video. So that's the answer to the president is like, is this working? It's,
yeah.
Well, you got 100,000 names you bought. If you're using this on direct mail, I'd rather, instead of sending 100,000 direct mail pieces, I'd rather send 10,000 to the most important people as a second touch. QR code on there to find the 2,000 that actually click it and view it to then know I got there's interest there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what the purpose is. So it doesn't have to be video, but I think like video isn't easy or something like that.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is like often in search at this stage, you're just trying to get them to come and sign up for some sort of event experience, whether that's planning their own one-on-one visit or a major event you're coordinating.
Yeah.
So that would be my other idea is a QR code could be to RSVP to an event. Mm-hmm. And you have a really fun, easy to sign up for event page that sells the event, makes it sound fun, has the schedule in it, and is easy to like sign up on their thumb.
Yep.
I would have the QR code go to the event. That's the other pivot I would do.
Yeah. Yeah. And thinking about video too, and again, I think the popularity of TikTok, of YouTube Shorts, that short consumable, and how you make that highly personalized. So even for an event, right, of you have a faculty member, an alumni, and a student that kind of represent a bucket of your prospects. And you know this about them because, excuse me, you're sending stuff very personalized to them because of their program interest, their sport interest, their sorority, fraternity, whatever it might be. And you can kind of develop these buckets and then send them to a video where they can scroll of like faculty member saying, hey, here's what I do, blah, blah, blah. Here's why you should come to this event and come chat with me. Alumni does
the admissions counselor
thing, right? And you can cycle through so many people and just get them to like, that was cool. 15 seconds. Next one.
Exactly. Next
one. These are super cool. And you kind of keep them engaged where they're like, now you're kind of ingraining themselves in your mind versus, the 5-minute video. If I'm 15 seconds, I'm used to 15 second content. If I watch the first 15 seconds and that was boring, I'm not watching the last, 4.5 minutes.
Yep.
See ya. And that's where all the meat is that you want them to watch anyway. And so there's this like, how do you play well with the buckets of people that you're kind of developing in your content. And again, for cheap, you can have somebody on their phone. Hey, I'm this person. I do these things.
Yeah.
And that can be essentially it. And you don't need this massive production to get these things done.
Yeah, I totally. Yeah. Just to emphasize something that you said, and I think this maybe some institutions might fall prey to this when they think about like, oh, you know, let's make a video with a student. They automatically go to like, how do we do the student tour? How do we do the thing? It's like, no. Yeah. No, people, like, do not do that. Don't replicate things, digits, you know, statistics, things that you can find online. Like, the key is give them something they can't find online. Give them something that they can't experience unless maybe they're standing in a room with you. Make them feel like they're standing in a room with you. I was talking with a buddy of mine, and he's just getting ready to retire out of higher ed. He's worked in higher ed for like 40 years as a faculty member. And he's getting ready, as he's retiring, to sell his house. And I started thinking about the sales of a house, right? Like the sale of a house being very similar to the sale of an institution, right? Like we think about when we buy houses, like the school district and the taxes and the neighborhood and what's the traffic like and like all these kind of things. Like what are the community things that are in the area? But you know what the funny part is, like that's happened in the house market in the last few years? The letter. The letter writing thing. The letter writing is crazy because that basically goes, it de-objectifies the whole process. It takes all those factors out of it and it says, hey, you're going to actually pick a buyer based on the emotional connection that you have with them because of this freaking letter that they write to you. And the school process is not altogether different. We're trying to create that emotional like tie, the letter thing. We're trying to create that in this higher ed environment. So how do we do that? I think that was like, to me, when I started thinking about it, I was like, this is fascinating. So.
Yeah, I would add to that. I think the pivot here, to summarize, is all about human touch. How can you bring in the human element?
Yep.
If you have to pivot and you're trying to do something different this year and get more in front of people, prospects starting in the search process, whether it's parents or students, grad or undergrad, doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I actually think, particularly for a school that can't rely on like, you've already got these great new things happening, and you're like, well, how do I redo this? I wouldn't try and sell yourself more. I would just put your people, the human touch in front. People are hungry for the human connection.
Yeah.
And I think that starts with your admissions team and really getting them in front of people more. And so I think this is about how can you put a human face on it? And I think this crosses all the channels.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're sending an SMS text out, you know, and you're doing a big blast. Like, is a difference whether that message is coming from DD University versus Tony Fraga, the admissions counselor at DDU. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, just sending you this quick message. Saw that you did this. I'd love to connect with you. You know, schedule a meeting with me here or like, let me know if I can answer any questions. It's just that that personal touch. I know we know that. I know that that's not necessarily new. But as far as like how to get that out in front of people more. Mm-hmm. I think that's what we need to do that's more distinguishing is get more human touch out there right now because there's been a lack of it since the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that becomes increasingly important when you're dealing with an online course where it's not hybrid, it's online. And this person is, you know, 1,000 miles away from you taking this course. How are you going to make them feel like part of something? Because again, even if they apply, doesn't mean they're going to enroll. Even if they enroll, doesn't mean they're going to stay for 4 years. And so how do you know, you need that human element throughout the entire process. It's not a get them in the door and then forget about them type of deal. And so being able to kind of create, again, that engaging content that can last and show them early on, here's how we're going to kind of, again, keep this human element, even though you're online and you can still kind of experience and be part of a community rather than you're just another person sitting at their computer staring at a screen for 3 hours a day through various courses.
Shane, I got a question for you.
Oh, boy.
Related to this then. This came up about a year or two ago, and I'm curious where this goes. I know that as VP of marketing, you stay abreast of a lot of kind of like latest and greatest kind of emerging trends and digital cool marketing strategies and tactics. Whatever happened to video SMS text? Like video SMS. Remember we talked, like there was this play towards like, and there's these apps and these tools. Is that still a frontier area that you think is worth thinking about, investing in? Do you think it's dead? Does it just not work? Because I like, tactically, this is the marketing tactician in me, just going back to tactics and trying to provide healthy pivots that are easy to do. But where is video, personalized video SMS?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that was like not necessarily ahead of its time, but it sounded sexy. It's texting and it's video together. That's awesome. Let's do that. But there was never a strategy of how to implement that well to complement all the other things you're doing. And I think, like we're saying right now, that's not your first touch point. That's not, you can't go in hyper-personalized before you even know anything, because then your personalization is so broad where it's like, now you're just, that could have gone, all you did was say my name. That's not just, that's not personalization. Like, you need to know things about me and be able to speak to the things I care about and want to address. So I think there's definitely room for it in people's enrollment marketing plans. But I think a lot of that needs to be fleshed out as, think of it as you're part of your comm flow. Where does that fit in? Swap out email for and throw in a personalized video message. How does that fit in? How does that complement the other emails and what they're getting? And how can you, again, tweak that to meet the needs of people? I think all the things we've been saying about video are still true. And all of those can work. Scan a QR code. They're creating these videos. Have them recreate them with people's names and very specific interests and knock out, you know, five in a sitting and then send them off. I don't think you need to make them for, the other fear is probably making them for 1,000 students. That's incredibly
time consuming. Right.
Get the ones that started the wrap. They're almost done. You think you've, you know, looked at some of their core information and think they're going to be a great student here. Let's take them, you know, the last mile here and using it that way, I think is the way to do it. But I think a lot of people saw it, thought it was a, you know, the new shiny object, either got it, but didn't invest time and energy into it and therefore it fell off, or they thought, oh, that's way too much work. I don't know how to do it. I'm not jumping in it. So I expect big comeback, but
Well, and I think that's the interesting part about this whole conversation, right? There's an assumption in a lot of this that you have the mechanisms in place to gauge that engagement. I think if you don't have that, then you're, you know, way behind the eight ball. And I think that that's really, that's a tough spot, because then you're kind of left to maybe just do some of the things that you have done,
the traditional things,
and you don't have more of that data available to make those data-driven decisions that you want to make, or make even optimize your budgets. Because I think if you don't have the means to look at, like, who's clicking, who's seeing, like, what's the engagement, then you can't do that personalization. I think what you said one thing, Shane, that's worth repeating, and that's that putting a first name on something is not personalization. And I think we just say that a few times, like, so people recognize that personalization is more about behavior and less about, like, putting a first name on it or filling in a merge field that's, like, standard to, you know, X, Y, or Z school.
Right. And that's the thing too. I think personalization, again, it's work for sure. Yeah. Like, it takes time and energy, but it's not meant to be for the list of names you just bought. Like, there's, you know, it's too time consuming. And so how do you use personalization? It has varying levels depending on where people are in their journey and how much you know about them, and not feeling the need to personalize every single thing, but highly personalize the things that are going to make somebody take that next step that you want them to take, whether that's coming to campus, submitting their application, whatever it might be. Yeah. But it has to be part of a strategic plan if you're just trying to, like, do it by the seat of your pants.
Ooh, did you just say strategic plan, like as in strategic enrollment marketing plan?
I did.
That could be a topic for another episode.
Who knows? Foreshadowing.
Careful what you say, Shane.
I know.
It's dangerous. You're talking dangerous.
Yeah. Speaking of planning, what are you guys in the middle of planning, doing, thinking about now as it pertains to your own work, the higher ed industry as a whole? I'm sure there's kind of a lot there again as we're a couple months into the year. So you've had time to kind of settle and work through some things, but also I'm sure new things are popping up all the time. What are you all in the middle of?
This episode actually kind of brings me back to a recent episode of CR Improv that I recorded with my co-host Mickey Baines. And we had a guest named Rich Kochman. Rich is a consultant, and he really got into this very intricate positioning between the CRM factors and the person that is behind the enrollment, right? Like, I think this whole, like, humanization of the CRM. It's kind of funny to think about, like, the fact that we introduce these big pieces of software to almost depersonalize the process, which now requires a huge amount of personalization. It's kind of a funny conundrum. Anyway, that episode of CRM Prov really got into this, and Rich had an amazing perspective. It was like one of the most excited episodes that I was a part of, you know, recording. And, you know, that's kind of what's going on for me. It's like really trying to think through, like, you know, we think about growth through technology, but at its core, we are in the business of human development, right? We are developing humans, and there is a human component to this whole thing, a through line that if we overlook it, we're no better off than before we had the technology.
Well said. Well said. I don't have anything nearly as like really philosophically profound as that. I am literally working on finalizing a 2.5 year, 2 year plus project, research project that I've been started as a joint research project with NAGAP. So DD Agency and NAGAP were a strategic partner council member, and we are putting out the industry's first ever SEO benchmarks report for higher ed for grad schools through NAGAP. But DD Agency, we're actually doing a double research project. We're doing an undergrad and grad. So full institutional and more undergrad SEO versus a separate grad report for grad schools. There is no report out there in the industry that benchmarks the SEO rankings and growth over the recent years. And so there's surveys data that's in here. There's hard research data that we're putting together. So I'm literally like knee deep in finalizing that report. It will be live by NAGAP in April, which anyone in graduate enrollment marketing, graduate enrollment management, if you're not at the GEM Summit in mid-April in New York City, you are missing out on a great conference. So that's what I'm in the middle of. I'm working on that and excited to like go to NAGAP and co-present this with Keith Ramsdell, who is the VP of Enrollment Management at Ashland University. And Keith and I have been working on this joint research project for many years. And it's really culminating in some really, really interesting insights that I think anyone can use to improve their SEO. So very excited about that.
Awesome. Emphasis on the really.
Yeah.
It was italicized, if I know, you couldn't tell. Underlined, for those who can't bold, see, cap. It's bold, italicized.
I think there were periods highlight. Between the two reallys too.
Yeah, stars.
Yeah.
And M dash. Yeah.
Oh, my favorite. Awesome. Well, thank you guys a ton for sharing. Those are both, you know, super insightful, very different lanes. And I'm sure Mickey got all riled up. I also host a podcast with Mickey. And anytime we get on the CRM topic and he talks about people having high expectations of their CRM, but not putting in much effort, tends to be a touchy subject. And I can let him go for 20 minutes on his own on that one.
I need to get on the Mickey bandwagon.
Yeah.
I feel left out. Yeah. Mickey, what's up, man, if you're listening?
Look a brother up. Do a brother a favor.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Again, this is episode 4 of The Pivot. We'll be back in 2 weeks with episode 5. Hope to see you then.
Hey, all, Zach here from Enrollify. If you like this podcast, chances are you'll like other Enrollify shows too. Our podcast network is growing by the month, and we've got a plethora of marketing, admissions, and higher ed technology shows that are jam-packed with stories, ideas, and frameworks that are all designed to empower you to become a better higher ed professional. Our shows feature a selection of the industry's best as your hosts. Learn from Mickey Baines, Jeremy Tears, Jamie Hunt, Corinne Myers, Jamie Gleason, and many, many more. You can learn more about the Enrollify Podcast Network at podcasts.enrollify.org. Our shows help higher ed marketers and admissions professionals find their next big idea. Find yours at podcasts.enrollify.org.